Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm currently attending the American Association of Nurse Practitioner meeting in Denver, Colorado, and very pleased to be able to grab a few minutes with Susan Orsega, who is an Admiral and Chief Nurse Officer and Assistant Surgeon General of the U.S. Public Health Service. Thank you, Susan, for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, Sean, for having me. It's an absolute delight. To have the opportunity to spend some time to talk with you today.
Well, I wanted to, before we got into talking about your presentation here and some of the thoughts that you imparted to the huge crowd, I think they have 5,200 people is what they're saying, could you talk a little bit about your background as a nurse practitioner and what you've done in that role?
Sure, no thanks. So I started in the United States Public Health Service as a student in a commission program that really provided that launch point for me to be in the United States Public Health Service, starting in as a nurse at NIH, and had a passion after working closely with HIV patients and understanding the complexity and challenge, but yet how professionally rewarding it was, coupled by working side by side with a nurse practitioner in a hurricane response, Hurricane Marilyn in St. Thomas. And she really was a pivotal player for me in helping understand what that role was and sparked my interest that led me to then apply for the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland, which is a program that allows, it is exclusively for uniformed service officers to go into those programs to become a nurse practitioner. So I graduated in 2001, and subsequent to that, 5 months later, my skills were immediately challenged by being deployed to Ground Zero as part of one of a 43-person elite team as a nurse practitioner in clinics that were actually, they were converted clinics from storefronts that were really right on Ground Zero.
And you were treating the responders?
I was. We arrived about 7 to 10 days after the event, and we were treating responders, firemen, police officers, or
steel
others.
Workers.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Everybody there, yeah.
The individuals that were on the ground, and it was, I always say, by far, it was one of the most challenging things I'd ever done, but also one of the most rewarding things. And I often would see, we'd see patients for physical complaints, musculoskeletal, complaints, ocular complaints, or even respiratory illnesses. But they served, those patient visits served then as an opportunity for us to talk to them about the mental health experiences, because as you can imagine, it was quite, it was just overwhelming to be in that area. And I felt a huge responsibility as a nurse practitioner. And I mentioned that because it became part of my real vernacular and approach on how I talk to patients and making sure that their physical needs are just as important to be addressed as well as their mental needs. And so that, when I came back from that disaster, and actually fulfilled that requirement, as I mentioned, at USIS, I was assigned to the National Institutes of Health, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and saw infectious patients with complex infectious diseases that were parts of clinical trials at NIH in Bethesda, Maryland, in an outpatient setting, and really has formulated a professional interest of mine in infectious diseases. I learned as I moved through my career as a nurse practitioner and as a Commissioned Corps officer that I wanted to challenge and to be a bit more my role to be expanded. So I then was afforded the opportunity in 2005 to be part of a team that was a multidisciplinary team that worked in South Africa to help establish clinical research trial.
For
it was a government to government. Yes. So it was. What happened was at the height of that in the HIV era, when in South Africa, when the rates were so high at a rate of 25-26%, and it was before PEPFAR, President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, there was a great need.
You don't look that old.
Yeah, I know. Well, so, but yes, yeah, so before in that area, in that time period, clinical research trials was the opportunity to provide that gap. And being part of that team, we helped establish the clinical research operations for this large clinical research government-to-government partnership in South Africa with the United States Department of HHS through NIH and NIAID. And that turned out to be a 13-year program.
Wow.
And it, so I mention it because it gave me sort of these broader skill sets while not practicing directly as a nurse practitioner. When I would come back from those visits, I maintained my clinical currency as a nurse practitioner. And and that's, as you get more senior in your career, it becomes increasingly difficult to maintain those skills. But I credit what I commented during the keynote is those what to pack in your parachute leadership skills, partly from the experiences that I've had working in global health settings, also the experiences I've worked in disasters.
Mm-hmm. Well, the public health has a very different and probably was cutting edge in terms of collaborative practice as we think of it, because and correct me if I'm wrong, but when public health teams went out, it was a team that could be, you know, a veterinarian, a nurse, an epidemiologist, an engineer for sanitation, so that there was all these people who were performing at the best, at the top of what they do. Mm-hmm. And so that team approach was always seemed to be so much more evident in how one approached things to deliver health in a crisis situation. And it seems that people suddenly said, gee, why don't we try that on a day-to-day basis to give health?
That's a really good point, because I often take multidisciplinary teams just almost for granted. It's a common speak and or sort of common in my approach, where maybe it's challenging for others to make sure they have that seat presence, you know, at the table for decision making. If you look at the public health service and established in 1789, exclusively with the Surgeon General, it was a physician specific service. And then you fast forward to around the 1940s, and then it expanded to what now is 11 professional categories, exclusively focused to meet our mission of protecting, promoting, and advancing the health and the safety of the nation. And you're right, the diversity of these teams it becomes evident both in those public health crises and how they can be leveraged, and that nimbleness also is used in the home front in the work that we do in the vulnerable populations of which we serve in the variety of and myriad of assignments that our officers are in.
And they're finding that you're probably aware of the CAPABLE project that came out of Johns Hopkins, where a nurse practitioner who worked with the elderly, Sarah Stanton, who was became an edge runner in the academy, and she found that the best team to go in and work with elderly to keep them in their homes as they age was a nurse, an occupational therapist, and a handyman. Mm-hmm. And so now they have teams, and now they're modeling it in other places. But that team would go out and do the initial assessment. The handyman would see what needed to be done in terms of handrails in the bathroom and things like that. So it's interesting that I guess the question is not how many nurses we need to do this or how many physicians we need, but who do we need that are going to serve the patient best? What does the patient need that may be different?
Right. It's almost like the approach now, you hear team science, right? So you really have to have that amalgam of expertise, both that allows the different thinking, because as you can imagine, you have an engineer, my chief engineering officer, because we all have their chief professional officers for each of the categories, and you get a chief nurse officer in the room, and while we have different perspectives, we can come around the table and be part of a solution with capitalizing on the different minds. And I completely agree. It's, you know, you think, is that the sweet spot that's going to turn the dial to a healthier nation? You know, I don't know, but it's we have to start to think more innovatively and outside the box to be able to address the challenges that I think are only going to get worse in healthcare. You know, bringing healthcare outside of the clinics and the hospitals to these communities, and the work that you mentioned earlier is part of that solution.
Mm-hmm. Now, within the public health service, nurse practitioners are doing what kinds of things?
So we, in the United States Public Health Service, I'm responsible for leading the nurse professional affairs for and advising the Surgeon General for the recruitment, retention, and response efforts for nursing and its profession. And while I'm responsible for nurses in the United States Department of Health and Human Services, there is a cadre of civilians, and then there's certainly the 1,500 nurse officers that I lead. I like to always say it's almost like a pedestal. So our public health service nurse officers are the three P's of public health service. So we provide clinical practice as the first one, and then certainly we're leading policy and programs. And across 800 duty stations around the world, we have officers, and particularly for nurses, of that almost 1,500, about two-thirds of them are in clinical sites. They may not be specific doing clinical practice, but they may be leading programs, but they're in clinical sites such as the Indian Health Service, through our memorandums of understanding, the Bureau of Prisons, Immigration Customs Enforcement Health Service Corps, to National Institutes of Health, federally occupational health. Those are our clinical places, and then certainly we have an expertise of nurse officers leading programs and policies in Health Resource Service Administration, in Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, in FDA. Interestingly, we do have nurse officers through a MOU or a Memorandum of Understanding with the National Park Service.
Oh.
So we have a nurse practitioner and nurses at Yosemite National Park. And so you sort of think, okay, well, how does that meet the mission? Well, it's right lined up. It's protecting, promoting, advancing the health and the safety of the nation. And
that must have been a plum assignment for somebody.
I think to myself, I would love to have that job, right? But I like to say, in many regards, our nurse officers are doing population health. Mm-hmm. And it's really the bread and butter of what we do, because I have nurse officers who are leading vaccination programs in Indian Health Service. I have a nurse practitioner who, while stationed in Juneau, Alaska, gets on a prop plane, flies out, and taking care, responsible for 400 of Alaskan Eskimo Indians, and responsible for their health and their care. She flies up and spends some time with those individuals, and she is their touch point in terms of getting care. And that is, for me, these are population health exemplars we really have in the United States Public Health Service, and certainly in our nurse category.
Now you did mention that you have nurses in the Immigration Customs Enforcement. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to a question that's in the news today about the detention and of families and children, and children have been separated. How can you say something about what's happening and what nurses are doing if mm-hmm. they're involved in any way in those situations?
So as I remarked earlier, part of our role, right, is to be assigned to the respective agency, which I gave you some examples of where our nurse officers at work. And then if there is a federally declared disaster or other federally declared need, our officers will get deployed to those mm-hmm. specific areas, the previous hurricanes of last
right.
year, Maria, Irma, and Harvey. And so Department of Health and Human Services is playing a role in having officers deployed, in addition to nurse officers, other officers deployed to facilities in the country, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And nurses and nurse practitioners are part of that mm-hmm. That team mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To address those needs.
Because that was one of the questions is nurses that I've talked to, everyone saying, well, you know, when you have a bunch of kids and, you know, even at a party, that some kids have special needs or some kids have asthma, and people were saying, well, what's happening with these kids? And is there a nurse or is there anyone assessing them and looking mm-hmm. at their health needs and then making sure they get medication if they needed that kind of thing? Mm-hmm.
It's not so different from if we think about what we do and how we do it well when you think of the disasters
that we've
been, right? Because we're setting up and we're working and we're setting up national, you know, federal medical shelters, but we're working outside of that, you know, clinic or that hospital. So we've got, you know, really well-skilled, trained officers who are able to meet those needs. Mm-hmm. The public health service does a really good job of making sure that they, you know, match the needs match the officers with the need.
With the need.
Right.
So that would be, I would gather, mental health people as well as pediatric nurse practitioners and all that.
Yeah, I actually don't have all the information of who's been, because mm-hmm. you can imagine it's a moving.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, it's moving every single day, so I don't have all of those specifics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to say as a takeaway that for nurses listening to this and
absolutely.
About this?
We are in an ever-changing healthcare landscape, and we've got to start to think about doing things differently, and to do that, we have to be nimble, but yet we have to be innovative in our solutions, because if not nursing, some other profession will make that decision for us. And we, as the largest respected profession, we have this opportunity to lean in a way that can change where we are in this great nation to move us towards a healthier mm-hmm. dial.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good luck to
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.